Amen. I woke up last night and prayed, didn't get any relief, and my God gave me NyQuil. And that helped me sleep. It didn't keep me asleep all night, but it sure made me get some rest. And that's what's needed. Praise you, Lord. If you have your Bibles, we are in the book of Yep, I considered calling George and tell George he got to preach this morning, but I said, nah. And then I got up this morning and I said, am I going to make it? And then I went and turned the shower on and climbed right back into bed. But I end up making it into the shower, showering, getting here, and God is good. Wednesday, I thought they'd just help me out with this morning, but they didn't go too far. But let's read. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil and their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and sleepy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. All week I'm wondering how to preach this. But it's nice sometimes to know where you are because it's in there. And then Wednesday, I thought, boy, Harry was going to give us a dissertation and then I'll have all I need. But he didn't. He stopped short. But that's all right. Here's the thing. We are getting ready for Christmas. The kids keep saying, when are you going to put up the tree? Are you going to put up the tree today? When are you going to put up the tree? And me, my mind saying, that's a lot of work. And then I have to take it down. I didn't really want to put up the tree, but they want the tree up. Yeah, I'll put up the tree. We'll put it up Friday. Friday come, the tree didn't get put up. We'll put it up tomorrow. Tomorrow come, the tree didn't get put up. Well, the tree's up. Tree's up. And they're happy. Then they didn't like the tree because it didn't have no colored lights. Well, that's okay. I think the tree now has grown on them because every night they make sure we turn it on. And but that's good. There's preparation for this birthday party we're supposed to celebrate on December 25th. A lot of preparation. In fact, when I drive down Mosley Road, I see one house. I knew that man took a lot of time. I mean, it lights up like nobody's business. It's beautiful. But here's the thing. Here's my question to you. We are preparing for Christmas. Are we preparing for his return? And guess, there's a correlation there because it takes a lot to prepare for Christmas. It takes a lot to prepare for his return. The first thing we see in this paragraph, it's a wedding. I've done a few weddings, and it says here, the kingdom, I didn't even read the passage. Yes, I did. See, I'm not. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now, I've done a few weddings, and in none of the weddings, it seems like we always waiting for the bride, not the bridegroom. In this text, they're waiting for the bridegroom. I did a little research, and it wasn't on the internet. It was in commentaries, and it says that back then there was three significant things about a marriage. First, it was the engagement. Second, oh Lord, I forget now. Should I write it down? And the climax is really the marriage. The crescendo was the marriage. So you could imagine if you're waiting for the bridegroom, how excited you are. Here in this text, both 5 and 5, they're all angels. Virgins, not angels, virgins. They're all virgins. And they're waiting. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. Revelation 19 and verse 6. I'll try not to be too excited. Verse 6. Then I heard what seems to be the voice of a great multitude, like a roaring of many waters, like the sound of many peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. What did the bride do? She made herself ready. Look, folks, it takes work to get ready for the bridegroom. In fact, I think when I did the weddings, I think the bridegroom did nothing, pretty much. He may have went out and get a haircut. He rent a tux and put it on. That's it. Maybe some cologne. But a bride is preparing sometimes a year in advance or more. She goes to the place, say yes to the dress. She tries on a few dresses until she finds the perfect one in her eyes. Then she has to go to the hairdresser and she has to get her hair done. After she leaves the hairdresser, she has to go to the nail salon and get some nails done. Not only that, she got to get jewelry to match. Everything is in coordination. On the day of the wedding, she is pretty much the first one getting ready because she has so much to do. Folks, it says here, the bride has made herself ready. Some of us are not making ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord. It was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and purple. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. In my mind, when I look at the 10 virgins, all were invited. All were getting ready for the marriage. But not all was ready. They had the same status. All four virgins had the same status. Then the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins, the same status. And the word virgin mean, the shortest part I put down here is maritable maiden. If you go back in the Old Testament, if a maiden was not a virgin on the married night, that marriage was done. And she was dead. They had to have, and the only way the father or the mother of the bride, they would have to have proof. And like they would keep the linens from the marriage night to have proof. So what this tells me here, all of these were clean, untouched. They were pure. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 1, verse 16 to 18. It says, wash yourselves, make yourself clean. Remove the evil from your deeds, from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead a widow's case. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You know, we all were blemished. At one time, we could say we were not virgins. We were not pure. We were not maritable for the lamb, for the marriage feast of the lamb. We were not, but Christ died. That's why he came. That's why we have this holiday. That's why we are celebrating, because Christ came as a baby in a manger and he died on a cross so that we can be white, once more pure in the eyes of God. Therefore, maritable. I don't know if you're all getting this. Amen. Revelation 7, verse 14 says, I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Woo! Praise God for the blood of the Lamb. I know we are celebrating his birthday, but boy, I am excited more about the blood of the Lamb, because there's a day when he's coming back, and that blood is what's going to present me as pure, maritable, ready. I wasn't going to be preachy, but it happens. Here's what, I hope this is not a true statement. It's in there. There's many people talk about many things, but half of them was ill-prepared. Half. Half. Now, I think the story is about the marriage. I think the story is not about the virgin. The story is about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and half of the people who supposed to make it didn't make it. Now, if you read it, a lot of theologians have different things, but half, in this parable, half did not make it. Here it said, five of them were foolish and five wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. You know, we all get tired. They all were tired. They all slept, but they all wasn't ready. You know, this story remind me of some folks in the Bible when it says we got to be wise. We got to be just as wise as the wise men. Do you know the wise men were very wise? Do you know the people who should have seen the star and know what the star is about was the people who didn't see the star? They were the foolish ones. Listen, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophets, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means less among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come the ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" How did those wise men become wise? It says it was written in the prophets. I really believe the five foolish virgins, they trust in God. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come, but they didn't spend enough time getting wise in the Word of God. Now, here's what I see. You cannot depend on last minute. You know, when the bridegroom says, a trumpet song, he's coming. They jump up and they were ready to go, but guess what? They were ill prepared. And last minute, they ain't getting any oil at all. You cannot wait for last minute to prepare. Some of us are waiting last minute. Some of us spending no time with the God at all. None. We only wait until something is happening to us. Or we're going through something. Or we feel like we can't take it anymore. Then we go to the Word of God to try to research it out and to get it out, to get some wisdom. We should be getting wisdom all the time. We should be in the Word of God all the time. So nothing catches us by surprise. I think these foolish virgins were caught by surprise. Now, some of you is not going to side with me on this, but I believe this from a long time ago after reading this passage. I believe in my mind, now I may be wrong, so don't go telling people, I believe that they were schooled that they were going to be out of here before the tribulation take place. That's just me. I'm not saying that's what it says, but as I read it, I believe the wise one had some kind of knowledge that the foolish ones did not have. And I'm thinking in my mind, when you teach people the Word of God and you teach them only you're going to not get touched by this. You're not going to experience any of this, and they experience it. Sometimes they give up on what they believe. And I've seen it happen in this time when Tocoa Falls had the flood, and I can't remember how many students died. It was a good thing that the flood came, and it wasn't the flood, the dam broke above the college and swiped through the college, and I can't remember if it's 30 something died. I can't remember. 39 died. But I read a book that some of the people that survived that walk away from Christ. Why? Now, I'm not in their mind. We're at a Christian college. They are studying to do God's work. How can God let this happen? You see how that could steal your faith? You see how that can make you? Because you don't realize that there is sin in this world. You don't realize that we live in a world that is not perfect because of sin. And God is not going to take us out of the world. In fact, the guy that I give credit to help me about pain and suffering is John Piper. John Piper was doing a series on Romans, and I listened through the whole series, and it changed my outlook on suffering. We have this idea that Christians are not going to suffer. We have that idea, and that's a false idea. And I believe these five foolish ones had some idea that was foolish. They thought that all they needed was enough because they thought he was coming when they thought he was coming. They thought that they wouldn't go, they didn't have to go the distance, because when he comes, he's going to take me out of here, and then only those who are left going to have a second chance, and they will come to Christ, and those are the ones. I really believe that we are going to go through it, and God's hand is going to be with us, and he is going to keep us, and he's going to strengthen us, because our God is more powerful than we can imagine. But that's just my belief. And I've believed that for a long time when I read this passage. I keep asking myself, what did the wise one have that the foolish ones didn't? And I believe it's knowledge. I really believe it's knowledge. I really believe that they did not spend time in the scriptures. It's the same thing that happened when Jesus Christ came and the Jews should have seen him as Messiah. They couldn't, but they didn't spend time in the scriptures and study it. So when they saw the star, they said, that's it. Because that star that night wasn't like any other star in the sky. I don't know what it looked like. It didn't show me what in the Bible, but I know it was different. And I know it sent a signal. And I know the wise men knew exactly that was the star. And they drop everything and says, we are going to go find the Messiah. That's what happens when you get into scriptures. When you study the word of God, you're going to start dropping things in your life and says, I want to see the Messiah. So that's my take. If you all can convince me otherwise, try. Half of them did not make it. You know what I thought of the scripture that came to mind is, but Lord, I cast out demons in your name. And he says, depart from me, I don't know you. Let me tell you something. You know, it reminds me of when the door was shut in Noah's day. Do you know that? Do you know Noah could open that door if he wanted to? When the door was shut, it was shut. Nobody else. Here's another scripture that came. It appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. You're not going to have a second chance. And that's what we don't realize. We believe we're going to have a second chance. Some of us believe we're going to live long enough to repent. Maybe I'm on my dying bed and I'll be able to repent. Well, here's how we start off with wisdom. Proverbs tell us how to start off with wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. Do you know that some people hold on to some belief, and no matter how much you show them in the Word of God where they're wrong, they'll find a way to show you where they're right? You remember we were talking about, some of you was Wednesday night, about the lady and praying to ask God for angels to come protect you and all of that? You know, everything else she negate, and Pastor Bascom showed her all the stuff where she's wrong. And no, she couldn't see it. She could not see it. She nodded her head yes, but when she went home, she called him back with other scriptures. Sometimes, when the Word of God, not sometimes, every time the Word of God confronts your theology, let the Word of God win. Because every day in your life, there's going to come up something, and ever so often, your theology is going to be off, and the Word of God is going to confront you, and you have to allow the Word of God to win. And how you do that is you have to start with fear for the Lord. You know, I think we have lost a lot of fear for God. And now, what I'm about to say, maybe not, but I remember I was growing up. Do you know that I grew up in an Anglican church? Do you know that church door used to stay open? Do you know that? It used to be open. You could go into that church, and it was like a reverence. You didn't touch. You didn't break. You didn't run up to the podium. You didn't do anything, because when you got in there, you know, this was God's house. That's how it used to be. Even when I switch over from that and started to go to this Pentecostal church, when you go to church, there was something about, we come to worship God, this is God's house. It's true we live, Spirit lives in here. That's true. But there's something about where you worship. And for some reason, we have lost that fear and that respect. And it has spilled over into many areas of our lives. Some of us are still doing the same things we've been doing for 20-something, 30-something, 40-something years. We are still doing some of the same things that the Bible confronts us with. And we are relaxed. I wonder if that's how those foolish virgins were. They were confronted and confronted and confronted, and they thought they were okay. They probably said at the last minute, we can use that scripture in 1 John 1, I think it's 1:9. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So once I do that, I'll be fine. But that's not how it is, because you have to prepare yourself for the bride. Amen. Groom. See, I almost leave off groom. One thing I know for sure, Jesus is coming again. I have no doubt in my mind, he is coming again. Some people may believe he's coming pre, pro, mid, after, in between. Don't matter what you think, all of us believe the same thing, he's coming again. And he says this in Matthew chapter 25, verse 6 and 7. It says, but at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come to meet him. I wonder, here's a question. If tonight you are sleeping in bed and the song of the Holy Spirit says, here is the bridegroom. Come to meet him. If you're going to be able to meet him, or you're going to say, wait a minute, I have to spend some time in prayer. Wait a minute, I have to do some confession here. Because by the time you do that, the door is going to be shut. And you're going to be left out. You have to do it now. Today is the day. Now is the time. He says this to believers. I stand at the door and I am knocking. If you would just open, I will come and sup and enjoy a meal with you. So open up. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, but not all were ready. As we celebrate this holiday, don't just think about the lights, but think of the light. Don't just think about the gifts, but think about the gift. And make yourself ready. I pray that before any of you ever open a gift on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve or whenever you celebrate it, that you will spend some time and remember the true gift of this season. Because without him, we are nothing. God bless you. Go and be blessed. But Don't forget the 22nd. Nobody have told me what they're doing yet, but the 22nd. I'm going to try to have the Christmas tree ready so that Carol will do her Christmas story. Oh, okay. All right. Anybody else? How is Willie? Okay. 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 Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Well, make sure you all pray for me. Let me tell you something. If it's one thing I don't like, it's being sick. I don't like it. See, kids, when they're sick, they could go lay down in bed and you pamper them. When an adult is sick, you have stuff you got to do. But praise God for his goodness and his mercy. Let's pray for these requests. And don't forget the 22nd. Mark it on your calendar. We're also going to be eating, so bring some food. And let's pray. Jesus, Jesus, Father, one thing we want is to be wise. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want to spend all our lives coming to church, doing the right thing, and yet our heart is so far from you that when your announcement of your coming, we are not ready. So help us, O God, each one of us, to be ready. Father, we pray for Shane's family that has lost a loved one. Father, we ask, O God, that you would just give them some peace. And we pray, God, that you would give Shane the words and the direction as he shares with them the love of Christ. Father, we thank you that Willie has recovered to some extent, and we pray, God, that you will continue to do a work in his life. We pray for Jill's dad, that you would continue to bring restoration in his life, and most of all, a walk with Jesus. Father, we thank you for Selma's family, and we praise you, God, that they're still here and you have done some marvelous things in their lives. But we ask, you know, God, that you will continue to work in them. Father, we just pray, God, that this season, for many of us, let it be a little bit different. Let our minds and our hearts be in the right focus, knowing that celebrating this season is actually celebrating life. For Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly. And Father, we just want to praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and be blessed.